You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood. together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. I hope you're going to have such a good day that you will have the opportunity to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But as we know, if it's not, don't worry, because you'll do it anyway. You'll get it done. You always persevere. You always overcome. Overcome, adapt. That's what you do. And we love you and appreciate you for that. Keep doing it. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcast. Click on that. And then, of course, when you do that, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled for your listening and educational and informative pleasure. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, Monday evening, all times are going to give at Eastern Times. You have Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad. That's followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. And on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, this evening, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy. At 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And on Friday, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, Esoteric Review, Sister Marcy Lee has suspended her program. She's handling family business. So she suspended her program for a minute. And we look forward to her return. There's no doubt about it. Very good program. Esoteric Review, Sister Marcy Lee. But Friday evening, if it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday evening, Eastern time, it's time for an awakening. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., Monday through Friday. It's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. Get everything you need. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Believe me, when you go online, you'll see the array of products that they have for you. But if you are in the Atlanta area, near the Greenbrier Mall, they have a kiosk that you can go to and pick those products pick those products up right away. The laundry detergent, the soaps, the lotions, the deodorants, the toothbrushes, the batteries. There's a number of things at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahemba, he's going to a number of trips this year. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. You can give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. The trips he's going to this year are April 3rd through the 13th. April 3rd through the 13th. Senegal and Gambia. And that is $3,300. Then he's going to Ghana, the repatriation investment tour, May 25th to June 5th. May 25th to June 5th, $3,700. Then he's going to South Africa, South Africa Roots and Culture Tour, November 20th through the 30th for $3,700. And then at the end of the year, December 24th to January 5th, 2021, the Ghana Repatriation Investment Tour, and that is also $3,700. And then he's already added the Senegal and Gambia tour once again next year, April 2nd through the 12th, 2021, and is $3,500. Brothers and sisters, all you need to do is put $400 down. There's a payment plan. Makes it easier on yourself. By the time these things get here, you would have paid for it. It would have been easy. You didn't have to drop a big, you know, lump sum. You can pay it over that particular time, and there you go. You're off to the motherland. You're off to a beautiful experience. So give Brother Bamani a call. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bamani 2007. Yep. Dr. Rinoco, he is going to Uganda and Rwanda October 5th through the 16th this year. And some beautiful pictures that he has posted on his website. Go to Dr. D-R-R-U-N-O-K-O, drrinoco.com. And that's for $4,100. Habashaw. That's right, brothers and sisters, Habashaw. That's right, Habashaw is helping Africa through education at home and abroad. And this organization definitely needs to be supported for what they do, and they're doing the work. They're doing the work, urban gardening, setting up and building a village. The mission is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. They're building in Africa. They're building in Ghana. The program has started. They're doing things here. They have beautiful programs here. They have Habashaw Works, where you have brothers and sisters who are doing sustainability and gardening, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and, of course, Golden Growers. That's brothers and sisters like myself who are up there in age but are still interested in planting some seeds, literally. Brothers and sisters, Habashaw. Go online, HabashawIncorporated.org. All right, dear brothers and sisters. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located. Oh. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End, here in Atlanta. In the West End area here, of course, their store hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 12 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 3. They have everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green. They got shoes. They got artwork, figurines, you name it. They got it. They got it all. And, of course, what they have is books. It is a bookstore. And if they don't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. located within the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also as well, they have an African history program every Saturday, Know Thyself, from 1:30 to 3:30, free and open to the public. From 1:30 to 3:30, Know Thyself. But if you can't make that, but you'd like to get that information, they have available for you an African History Club multimedia library. It is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. So contact the Shrine of the Black Madonna at 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. Medu Bookstore, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right by the kiosk of We Buy Black. So if you're right there by We Buy Black, you're right there by the Medu Bookstore, where you can check out some beautiful postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, and, of course, the fine array of books that they have for your intellectual enjoyment at the Medu Bookstore, open at the Greenbrier Mall Monday through Saturday from 10 to 9, and then on Sunday from 12 to 6, the Medu Bookstore. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. On tomorrow evening, I'll be at the Medu Bookstore. We have the African ASCAC organization, our study group, ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations here in Atlanta. We will have a study. We will have a panel discussion talking about the importance of study groups. I'm part of that panel along with our regional president, Sister Dr. Reba Kelsey, and, of course, Baba Jehudi. He's also on that panel, and you're definitely free to join us and check out the Medu Bookstore. We'll be throwing down information for you about what ASCAC is about and, of course, the importance of education, the importance of information, the importance of knowing thyself. Another bookstore we promote, of course, is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, I know he's having a big weekend this weekend, the Steppers. He's with the Steppers group. They're downtown. They got Steppers coming in from all over the country. They start tomorrow, but the big thing starts on Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday. The Steppers at the Marriott. But the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Lithonia, the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He also has T-shirts and all kind of apparel and the red, black, and green shoes, the Nagas shoes. And, of course, same applies. If you're looking for a book and you're in that area, check them out. Or you want to give them a call at the number I just mentioned to see if he has the book. If he doesn't, believe me, he'll get it for you. ULU, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or Cooperative Economics, as we like to say, or Family-Centered Economics. Their Thursday night broadcast is tomorrow night. The Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And the number to call on Blog Talk Radio is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. The Thursday night broadcast of ULU, Us Lifting Us. Also, the conference is coming to Atlanta, March 13th to the 15th, the 7th annual Us Lifting Us conference. It's going to be at the Interdenominational Theological Center located in Morris Brown University on 700 MLK Drive here in Atlanta. I'm not sure if they're going to have a simulcast or a Skype or whatever. I'm not sure. I'll get that information for you if you definitely want to check that out. But believe me, I'm telling you, after this conference, we're going to get some direction and really going to make a serious push, because we need Us Lifting Us. We need to embrace this concept. We need to do this. This is part of the survival for African people. It is part, not just survival, because you don't just want to survive. You want to thrive. And if we are to be a people of self-determination and independence, this is the way to go. Us Lifting Us. Aha. And also, too, Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute We, of course, need your donations. Baba Baruti and Sister Ya Baruti, they have been doing great work. And, you know, we need to support them. They definitely deserve to be supported, you know. And I'm hoping that all of us understand that how important it is that we, as African people, support one another, especially because of the work that they're doing, providing and helping our young people, you know, develop the mindset and the spirit of doing things the way things need to be done. And they also, this Saturday, trying to find that right here, Baba Baruti, Professor Griff, and they'll be patient with me here, brothers and sisters. I'm trying to find that for you. And I don't know what I did with it. Sometimes I look for stuff, and there it is. I don't have it. And sometimes I get it, and there it is. I don't have it. So, yeah. Okay. Let me try this. And 'cause I want to make sure you get this information. It's good information of what's coming up. Oh, there's also, too, the Bozeman Law Firm. They have a Black History program this Saturday. And this is early in the morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that's going to be at the Auburn Avenue, if you're in the Atlanta area, Auburn Avenue Research Library. They have a keynote speaker, Dr. Semenga, Michael Semenga. He's an author and organizer and professor at Morehouse College. But, of course, the performances are by the Children of Colombo. Love them. And Sister Akua Taylor, I've known him since she was a baby. He's a good friend of mine, brother Bill Taylor's daughter who lives here. And, of course, one of the young rappers, and music by DJ Ear Doctor. He will be throwing it down. Yep. So I don't know if I – sometimes, you know, you do something, you figure you have it, and then, bam, you don't. And you say to yourself, what – I have it. Yes, I do. I have it. And, of course, that's this Saturday. Baba Baruti, Brother Kalanji, and Professor Griff. And that's going to be at 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. this Saturday. And that's going to be at the Westview Market Space, 1554 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, still here in the West End area. The real African history, unsung heroes and sheroes of our struggle. And so I'm looking forward to that. And also, too, once again, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, go to Cash App or PayPal, put in the $ and then YAAM, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your contributions and your donations to Akabin Institute, because that's how they're going to survive. That's how we're going to thrive.
This call is being recorded.
So I'm saying that's what's important. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, Sister Gabby is doing outstanding work. She's doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of Haiti in the rural area. And so check her out. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E Dash Haiti. AYITI.org, Sanjay-IET. She's doing outstanding work, and she needs to be supported. The Enye Sesim, of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 18th. What is a zombie? A zombie is a corpse reactivated by secret means from the grave. They can walk, live, and serve others, but is still dead. Kwabena Ashanti. Zombies take their vanquishment and belief in the sacredness of Caucasian supremacy to heart. They embrace an absolute denial of any African origin or connection, insist on being amalgamated into what they consider to be a superior physical and mental type, work toward their rapid and complete subsimilation of the European way, and believe they deserve no more than a conditional subjugation, subintegration into European cultural and society. They will accept whatever piece of whiteness that they can get because they are not their African selves. Zombies, metaphysically and methodology, search for ways to distance themselves from all that is African, especially Africans who are not working with them toward white acceptance. Mindlessness makes them frightened creatures, doing all in their power to distance themselves from anyone who would get in the Europeans' march toward global domination. They would never think to question or interfere with those who own them. As they distance themselves from us, we must distance ourselves from them. Warriors are not proselytizers, nor do we seek to be proselytized. Affirm, I'm a living being with a living conscious mind that only I control. I repeat, affirm, I'm a living being with a living conscious mind that only I can control. February 19th. What's eating you? Layla Africa. For warriors, in terms of health, performance, endurance, vision, and life, it always comes down to the question, what are you eating? Which is the flip side of the same question, is what's eating you? A body cannot operate efficiently carrying dead weight. This applies to individuals as well as an army, a people, or any other organism. Dead weight inhibits performance by draining energy. To attend to its destructive, dysfunctional needs that otherwise could be put to better use by the unencumbered body. It restricts warriors physically and mentally and spiritually. Ability requires exercise and strength beyond the average. That's what agility does. Thought clouded by layers of saturated doubt can never express your best. And you cannot open your first eye to divinity, bogged down with waste. Warriors especially cannot afford to carry dead weight or any other toxicity in their temples. We must be highly mobile, always ready and prepared to move, always moving, never in a stupor or high on chemicals, legal or otherwise, that paralyze our actions or reactions. What we ingest should be the medicine food was meant to be. As the multi-genius, the multidisciplinarian Imhotep taught, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. We must always be clean and clear, holistically fine-tuned for building and battle. Affirm, I am healthy. Affirm, I am healthy. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I always like to read the Inye Sesim. And I appreciate Baba Baruti and all he does. And so I'm waiting on our guest, Sister Baina Bello. And I hope that she'll be contacting soon. I've talked to her. She's in town again. She, I believe, will be at the Medu bookstore. And I hope that she'll be at the Medu bookstore one day this week with a presentation and a book signing of her book, She Rose, of the Haitian Revolution. And you know, and that's always interesting because women in our struggle have always been prominent, you know? In fact, there was many times when you look at the history of our people, we had great queens, Amina and Zinga, Yahasantua, when sometimes the men did not step out. And so the women, stepped out, you know, and led the brothers and the troops into battle. So we have a history of women who have been on the front lines. I mean, we could put Harriet Tubman in that, and Sojourner Truth, and other women. Ida B. Wells, here in this country, of women taking the lead and being fearless. You know? And it's not a shame against the brothers. There's a time, you know, there's a time when that woman leadership's a step forward. And one of the Inyesesims I read, when I read every broadcast, when he talked about how women understand and they know how deep war is and the pain of it. But sometimes women understand too, we are being called and we must respond, especially us able-bodied individuals. You know, we must respond. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, what we're going to do today, and that is talk to Sister Dr. Baina Bello. Good morning, Dr. Bello.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I am well.
Greetings to the audience.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to have you on. I did have you on some time ago, very, very briefly. I remember that you were making your way out of here. You were in the airport.
Right.
But now that we have the time and we're going to talk about your book, Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution and other things that are happening in Haiti. First off, are you still going to be at the Medu bookstore soon?
Yes, sometime in April 15, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, mm-hmm. Beautiful. April, uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
Well, let's talk about your book. Let's talk about Sheroes. I was just mentioning prior to coming on how important it is that that as African people, we have a history of men and women working together. There's a symbiotic relationship, and sometimes women take the lead. Sometimes women sometimes have to take the lead, and brothers will follow suit because it is understood that, you know, the leadership is a position of person who has the courage and the person who has the foresight and the vision to make things happen, you know. And I've read some of the information that you had of some of the sisters. It's just beautiful, you know, just interesting. And of course, the illustrations are dynamic as well, you know.
Thank you. Yes, in fact, I think it's because we are today under a perverted perception of ourselves. And that is why we tend to think either women can't or women can sometimes help or come in or step in. But the fact of the matter is, if we take life as it begun in its original form, and if we take the original cultures, of course, once we say that, we're talking about Africa. Women have always been present and always been in the forefront. There was a saying in Dahomey, Dahomey does not exist without its female army. In Libya, all the greatest times of Libya were the time where the women were in the forefront. But this perverted, distorted, so-called history that they have taught us have given us a different perception of truth and reality. So, if we look at also, again, I say, if we look at life, let's say there was a time there was only men on this earth. Would you and I be there today?
Hmm.
So, Mother Nature, mother of the family, mother of the nation, even though they don't use that anymore. Even in IT, we had on January 6th in the original calendar of IT, 1804, 1805, Black calendar, January 6th is the day of the mothers of the nation. We had three big holidays in January. January 1st, which is Independence Day. January 2nd, which is Ancestors Day. And January 6th, which is the Day of the Mothers of the Nation. So it is clear that the founders knew well the contribution of women to founding the nation. We don't have a date of the founding fathers, but during the U.S. occupation of Haiti, 1915-1934, they removed that from the calendar, and today most Haitians don't know about that date.
Which date? The Mother's Day?
Yes, the Day of the Mothers of the Nation. Uh-huh. Yes.
Have y'all revived that? Have y'all gone, you know? Have
yes,
you...
the Fondation celebrates it every year mm-hmm. on January 6th.
Good.
But the government doesn't, and our people, in by and large, do not know about it.
Oh. Yeah, that yes. should be something that should be initiated by the government. You
absolutely.
Know.
Something. Well, initiated it is by Fondation Félicité. But now the government needs to pick it up. In fact, we have prepared a law, a project law, to submit to Parliament when we will have one, to submit to a decent Parliament, a law that will propose the true Haitian calendar, not a calendar that celebrates what the church wants to celebrate
right.
or what Europeans wants to celebrate. You Christians wants to celebrate.
Right.
So if we look at it, looking at it from that perspective, then it will make us eager to find out what did the women do? Every time we're looking at any part of history, then we will ask ourselves, but where were the women when this was happening?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the research that has taken me about 30 years of asking myself, well, every time I read something, then I ask, where were the women? I read about somebody who did wonderful things, a man. I said, well, did he have a wife? Did he have a mother? Did he have a sister? Did he have a girlfriend? And when I start asking these questions, I start learning so many things. One example is in Jamaica. I read an article about Kodjo being a revolutionary during slavery time against the British Army. And then I asked myself, well, where were the women? Did he have a mother, a wife, a sister? And lo and behold, I'm going to discover that Kodjo was not even second in command.
That's right. That's right. The mother was.
Yeah. Nanny.
Yes, yes. And she was strong.
Absolutely. It is Nani who was the thinking person mm-hmm. behind that whole sex section, and she's the one who held to the end also. So,
they were proposing to sign the treaty, and she refused, correct?
That's correct. Kodjo yeah. went to sign the treaty and then sent a message to her to tell her she should come, that he has signed a treaty and now they are friends with the British. She can come.
Huh. So, she knew better.
mm-hmm. She chopped off the messenger and sent him back and said to Kodjo, he can have him for dinner.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we have even closer to us. When we look at the 60s, just go check out all the different different black organizations that were fighting in the 60s, 70s. Look who's at the head of each one. Everybody knows Huey Newton, H.R. Brown, but who's at the head? Those are spokespersons. Who's at the head of the organization? The Republic of New Africa, who's at the head? Go check it out. Practically all of them, you had a woman at the top. Smart enough to know she didn't need to have her face on television.
Right.
So,
I'll say this. I've learned the power of sisters when I was organizing the convention of the Black Firefighters Organization back in Milwaukee in 1994. And believe me, if the sisters, and they weren't firefighters, they were firefighters, girlfriends and wives and so forth. But if it had not been for them, the organizing effort that was put forth, and it worked out well because of those sisters, it was tremendous. You know, they were on top. They were consistently with good ideas, but more importantly, implementation of those ideas, you know. So I've always said, if you want to get something done, you better have some sisters on board. That's for sure.
That's right. And in fact, if you Google what went down in IET yesterday, you will see that the biggest problem right now, right this minute, a group of one woman, a young woman, who's not high grade, you know, have low level policewoman, organize a union of policemen in IT. And for the past 3 months, you know, the hierarchy don't want to hear about it. She's been doing all kinds of different movements. And yesterday she had a march throughout Port-au-Prince. She at the head, bare feet, taking positions that most men in the police cannot say, should speak out on in the public. Yesterday, they took, after the march, her successful march, they took the decision to fire her. But I think things have just begun. Because her response is, once a policewoman, always a policewoman.
I say. I say. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of these sisters that you have wrote about. Some beautifully strong women that I looked through here and read about their brief bios. I mean, they were dynamic. Well, of course, especially Aunt Toya, you know.
Yes. Aunt Toya is an African woman who was a high-ranked member of the military female army in Dahomey. So, when her area was invaded by Euro-Christian thieves and kidnappers, she happened to be in the sacred forest. And you know, in the sacred forest, you cannot go with arms, with weapons. You can only have a pocket knife to pick up leaves and roots and barks of trees, because when you're military, you must also be a doctor. You have to have both sides of whatever profession. So since you have a profession where you will maim and kill people, you must know how to heal and save lives. So every military has a time where they have to go in the forest and collect the things they need to make different medicines and whatnot. So she was in that position when she felt eyes on her, is the way she explained it. And by the time she took position, she fought these men, knock off a good dozen of them before a couple others came with a nest. What you catch fish in?
Right. Bought a net.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A net. Okay. Mm-hmm. Came with a net. and threw it, and that's the way they could take her. But they could not handle her person to person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they dragged her in the net to the boat and sold her in Saint-Domingue. Shortly after arriving there, she dashed off because she has tremendous knowledge of topography, of astronomy, so she could run away anywhere. Like all military, those people are well trained. So with the intention of, she ran away with the intention of building a new army to fight slavery. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't meet the right people. So in the end, she decides that since their motto in Africa is conquer or die, so she decided she would go collect the proper leaves and roots and things so she would take herself off the planet. So as she was doing this work of collecting and preparing for her going away, she met this pregnant woman who also had run away. And this woman, she helped her. The woman delivered a baby boy. A couple of days later, the woman felt death coming. So she asked Toya to take the baby, raise that baby, and make him know freedom. That was the mother's last wish. And Toya agreed. So now she had to go and undo some of what she had already done for her going away. She came to understand that if this is what happened, it must be because this boy is the one who's to bring freedom, not her. So she must find a way to raise this child the way she was raised, so he would be in a position to fight for freedom. And that is the way she went about educating. And she went back to the plantation. She decided that if the child is to fight against slavery, he must experience it. He must know it from the inside out. So she and him and the baby went back, suffered everything, all the tortures, the punishment, the this, the that. But ultimately, she brought into this world for us Jean-Jacques Dessalines.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
So, who brought IT into freedom.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it, for me, the lesson learned from Antoya's biography is that if we want a different world, we must first establish firmly that this is what we want. And secondly, the mothers must teach their children how to be the liberators that we need. So there again, if we go back to what we were talking in the beginning, you see the woman, even when she just sits in the house,
mm-hmm.
she has a tremendous task to perform, because depending on how she does what she does with the children that she raises will determine what tomorrow will look like. A mother with no plan will bring men, useless women.
Mm. It's deep, yes. Well, that was beautiful. She understood that she had to raise him to experience
exactly
those things, so he would know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And in his training, she taught him all about the history that she knew about Bellamy. All the history that she knew. That she lived in Saint-Domingue. Taught him to speak Yoruba. Taught him everything she knew in the way of spirituality, in the way of learning, because it was very important in Africa that everybody had to read the night sky.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way you guide yourself when you're walking at night. Since it's very hot during the day, many people, if they had to go long distances, preferred to go at night. And at night, the only guide you had was up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
She trained him that way, taught him how to fight, trained him spiritually, taught him about topography. If you are running away and you don't know how to read the plants,
mm-hmm.
you see, there is a way plants come, types of plants come one behind the other. If you're going towards the mountain, if you're running towards the sea, then it's a different type of plant situation. So if you know how to read the topography, how to understand the plant, then what happened to Spartacus cannot happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You run away and find yourself at the sea, and then the enemy just decides to have you drown yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's one of the big strengths that we had, is that this woman trained many people. She didn't just train Dessalines. And Dessalines himself trained a lot of people. So our people had strategies, techniques, vision, perceptions that were pure African. In fact, that's one sentence that Dessalines says. He says that he is nothing but a savage African. And when he says that, you know, some people, of course, will interpret it different ways. But what we ought to understand, when he says savage, he means natural.
Mm, okay.
It's the way the Euro-Christian call a savage animal.
Mm-hmm.
He's a natural animal. He lives in his own environment, and he knows his environment well. He's a force in his environment.
Right.
So that's the way Dessalines view himself. He felt that there's certain things he just refused to do or refused to follow. And that's why people would criticize him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, dancing. The rule was, if you're going into the dance floor, you must put down your arms. There was a room for that.
Right.
Well, Dessalines said, no, my mission is to fight. Dancing is my pleasure. So I dance with my weapons.
That's right. You never can tell when you got to go fast. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We come back from the break, we'll have more conversation with our guest, Dr. Baiyina Bello from Haiti, talking about her book, The She-Rose of the Haitian Revolution. We'll talk about some other sisters and what's going on in Haiti today and what the prospects for the future hold. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you say? got a wife and a baby. Yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Now my love has gained its fame. Yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday in the evening at 6 p.m., all times are going to give at Eastern Times, is Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad. And then after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation, Reparation with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. This evening, Wednesday evening, Revive with Sister PLC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Valentine Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to get back to the conversation. Now, that was War, Slipping into Darkness, from early 70, I think it was 72. 72 had a lot of good music, I tell you. A lot of good music back in the 70s. And our conversations with Sister Bayina Bello, who's written the book, The Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution. And
Sister Baina, I got some callers here. You wanted me to take a call? They have some, probably have some good questions to ask. Okay.
Certainly.
All right. Mm-hmm. Caller 336.
Yes, greetings.
Greetings.
Yes. Am I heard?
You are heard. Go ahead. Who is this?
This is Sister Boniswa.
Oh, Sister Boniswa. How you doing, sister? How have you
hey,
been?
Brother, I was able to make it. When I heard who was going to be on the show, I said, I have got to make it.
Well, thank you, my sister. Were you on the Doc Rogers show last night?
Yes, yes.
Good.
He announced it. I said, I've got to make this happen.
Well, thank you, and thank him for it. I appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing, for doing what you do, and thank you for bringing this wonderful, wonderful sister on.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and believe it, it's my honor and pleasure. I've met her a couple of years ago now, and every time she comes to the Atlanta area, at least we go have some, we break bread.
I say. Yeah. I want to give you some greetings of love, Sister Bello. I am not a hero worshiper, but I just honor you and love you. I got to tell you that.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I've listened to you on YouTube, and I'm going to get your books and just study, because there's a lot that I've learned from you. So I want to, I'm not quite sure what I want to say, but you talked about the mother that raised the Salines.
Yes.
And the thing that I was thinking about when you were talking was that here in America, the mothers, black mothers, have become so, not all, but, oh, geez, it's 70%, just throwing a number out, so unable to parent and have damaged black boys especially so badly with the trauma, carrying this generational trauma and the damage and the emasculation of their own boys, and it's just so much. All types of abuses. That's a major reason why you see our young black boys in gangs now, because they don't receive the love, the training, and all that went into Dessalines. That's almost non-existent here that I've seen. Black boys are not being trained to be warriors, you know, being raised in single-parent households. And so I watched this in my community as a local activist, and it really, really hurts me. There's just a few young black males that are really trying. Most of them are being trained by the Nation of Islam, if they're getting any training. So I came in about 30 minutes ago, and I was just listening to you tell a story, and I don't know what you've covered so far, but have you addressed it? Would you address, in terms of African spiritual system, how healing can occur with black women? Because if that isn't done, we have serious problems.
All right. Thank you for your comments and for the question. Yes, indeed. We are living in a sick world. A world of slavery is a diseased world. A world of colonization and supremacy are diseased worlds. Our people have so far barely managed to survive, stay physically alive. Now, during this whole system of slavery, colonization, and the continuing colonization and slavery through the supremacy, the whole system is designed to turn us into nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm reading Sister Tami Adeyemi's book. I don't read novels. I don't read anything that's not history. But this book attracted me because in the back of the book, here is what she says. They killed my mother. They took our magic. They tried to bury us. Now, if we would only keep this in mind as a reality, because that's where we're at, then we would have a different position as to how we live each day. But we are living in la-la world. We're living in a world that's talking about democracy and truth and, I don't know, all kinds of things. Everybody's equal. These are lies. Mm-hmm. And as long as we entertain these lies, we cannot point the finger at X or Y or W and say that so-and-so is not doing right. We have to always first observe and be aware and conscious. We are living in a very wicked world. There cannot be a hell outside of what we're living in. Now, if and when we clear on this, okay, I'm in hell and I don't want to stay here. How do I create a different world? Now, the minute men, women, children come into that mentality, then the change will come. Each one of us will take the right steps. You mentioned the Nation of Islam. Yes, indeed, the nation is doing a great job. It's still doing a great job in spite of everything. Of raising our black men and giving them a purpose. Taking people out of jail, out of drugs, out of this, out of that. Giving them a purpose and making them want to be. And that's great. I applaud. But how many of us? I don't think we'll have to go into the nation, but the principles are there. We could learn them and apply them wherever we are. The principle of discipline, organization, purpose, vision, the principles are right there. We could even go to the nation, get somebody, if we need something in writing, get some of the lessons, get some stuff, and then apply it if you don't want to be. And many people do that. Many people take our principles, take things that we have developed and make their own. You see right now, see that second sentence I read? They killed my mother. They took our magic. If you Google the net, Google or whatever else, the YouTube, whatever. If you go into these things, the internet stuff, you will be surprised how many absolutely white chorus are singing voodoo songs. Mm. You will be surprised how many groups of whites are being initiated and then creating their own group with none of us in it. Initiated by us, and then they create their own structure. So, they're stealing your magic, but before they steal it, and as they steal it, they tell you it's no good. They tell you it's the devil. They make you afraid of it. They make you get away from it. They make you give it away for nothing. Okay, so how do we repair this? Well, the work has to be individually first. I have to work on Baina and tell Baina, Baina, you must change. Right now, you are nothing but a body, a dead body, a buried dead body. There is nobody to help you but yourself. So unbury yourself. And then regain your magic. Go back and learn the things that they make you shun away from. Go back and learn what your grandma, your great grandma used to do. Go back to Africa. Learn how we used to do things. And apply it in your life today. Let me give you an example. You see, some of us today say, oh, yeah, I'm a new mommy and I'm nursing. I'm nursing, so I have all the latest electronic material for nursing. That's good. That's good, but you're missing out the whole thing about nursing. To pump the milk, put it in bottle, and leave the baby with somebody or in a daycare somewhere, and go to work. You're not nursing, mommy. I'm sorry. You're pretending to nurse. Because all the psychological healing that the baby gets from being in his mother's arm, from sucking the mother's nipple with no milk, the baby is getting plenty. From playing with his mother's body. Besides all the good stuff that the mother's milk brings, but there's a whole lot of psychological healing in the holding of the baby and nursing the baby. In being in tune with that baby, even if you're in profound sleep, and the baby goes, and you jump up. There's a connection that you're creating there that's very important. Every antibody in your body will go into the milk, but there's plenty that will not go into the milk that stays right on the nipple, and only the baby's mouth can get it. So they put us into this program where we think we're doing one thing, but in fact, we are not. So there is no way to look at a situation without looking at the larger picture, the global picture. Okay? We cannot point the finger at the sisters not being able to. What does a sister have? Where did she go that they taught her otherwise? Every film, every book, every magazine, every newspaper is saying black people are no good, black people should be slaves, black people blah, 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 blah. And then we want every black person to rise up and be like Tantoya. No, we cannot. Even our own, we were, at some point, you know, we had no filmmakers. Today we have plenty of black filmmakers. But what message are they sending to our people? Are they teaching us what we need to know so we can build our nation? They, yeah, support black, but support what kind of black? See? I support black victory. So there are certain type of things that a black person will have. I will not support you. I don't care. And, you know, we should, you know, Dessalines told us years ago in 1804, Dessalines says, and it's a law, the Constitution of 1805 says it clearly, that all Haitians are black. There is no white, no mulatto, no Chabin, Marron, no. Every Haitian is black. It doesn't make any difference what color skin, what color eyes, where you were born. If you are Haitian, you're a black person. And people were totally confused. What are you talking about? How can you say that, you know? Yes. So what is a black person? Black people are people who fight for freedom. So today, that people can have whatever skin they want, whatever color eyes they have, whatever they want to have, they can change every day if they like. You see the importance of defining black other than skin color? The man did this for us in 1804. We did not follow through. So, what we must do, we need, that's why in Fondation Félicité we created a seminar, a workshop called Learn to Know Yourself. If I don't know who I am, I cannot know what is the best me. I cannot know even profession. I wouldn't know if I don't know who I am. How do I know if I'm to be a doctor or a lawyer? I don't. And whether I go to the best school, so-called, and get the greatest diploma, the biggest, the largest, the widest diploma, it will change nothing. I will remain a confused entity, unclear about who she is, who has plenty of diplomas. Well, you could get on the internet and you could learn to recite, to make big speeches or whatever. You could do, you know, I could be very impressive. But in dealing with me one-to-one, what happens? Confused people cannot treat others properly. People who do not know who they are cannot, they don't know what the mother's role is. Why do you think a mother and a daughter are going after the same men? Mm. Why do you think a mother and a daughter are dressing in the same outfit, the same clothing? They have the same hairdo. The mama has to dye her hair every other week so she looks like her daughter. Those are confused people who do not know yet who they are, and that's the first knowledge we need to get. Know who you are, then the rest will fall into place. Why do you think in this world today you have 10, 12, well, in this structure here, they can't have more than two because they've set it up a certain way, but if you observe closely, you will see more and more people, prepared or unprepared, want to be president. 50 years ago, you wouldn't have all these people thinking they could be president. But today, president is just a thing. You know, if you have enough money, you make enough commercials, yeah, you could be president. You have no vision. There's nothing you wish for the society. You just know about filling your pocket. And you want chief. So you can fill your pocket faster. That has nothing to do with being a head of state. So as we live in a hellhole, which takes itself for a power, because be careful, we have to understand, power is the ability to do, to create, to build, to bring into existence what wasn't there yesterday. The ability to destroy is not power. All you need to destroy is force. Don't mix the words up. So we can develop power through our own spiritual systems. Through our own magic, if we want to put it that way. If you use your own magic, eventually you will be powerful. If you have your own references, look at all of our people writing. If we're going by black being skin, okay, lots of people write books, lots of people make films. But do these things build the nation? No. Because the person doing it does not exist. They're just copying what they see. Yeah, shoot 'em up is the fashion. Killing, slaughter, torturing. Yeah, so now we're having black kill black. Black slaughter black. Black torture black. And then everybody turns around and says, oh, what is this? Black on black crime. You are in a criminal society. Don't tell me about black on black, right? What about all the centuries of white on black crimes? What you do with it? It's a history. And its impact is right here in the present. And through the supremacy, it continues. So, as far as we are concerned, in my 40 years of reflection, I understand that what we need to do is train ourselves to become ourselves. Because as we stand today, having gone to the enemy school, the enemy's church, read the enemy's books, look at the enemy's films, follow the enemy's models and fashions, we are not ourselves.
Ashe. Ashe.
That's right.
We must return to being ourselves. And that is the thing they are most afraid of. Because once you are who you are, you don't need to build weapons. You just need to be who you are. And people can make you be other than who you are. That's the power. Then our mothers will know exactly how to raise their children. Our children will know exactly how to choose the best. You know the word IT in the Arawak language, because it's an Arawak term, and that was the name of the island prior to the invasion of ferocious Euro-Christians into the island. So IT means the land which forces you to rise to your better self. The land which forces you to rise to your better self.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yes, because in their books, our enemies have taught us to write and to say, IT means mountainous land, but that's not it. It means the land which forces you to rise to your better self. So when people are saying, oh, but I see you always in the upward, and of course, we can't sleep being other than ourselves. We have to fight to become ourselves. So of course, since we are not conscious, we're not doing it consciously, sometimes we don't even know what causes us to rise. It looks like a small something, and the whole nation rises up. But that's because Haitians are not themselves. So the spirit of that land forces you to shake yourself. Yes, there will be earthquakes. There'll be all kinds of, Mother Nature will speak loudly. Because we are not ourselves. Until we get back to our true self, then the land and us will be at peace.
And that's just not Haiti. That's us. That's Africa. Period.
Now the planet.
Yes, the planet.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
The planet.
Diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The planet is sick of all the wickedness that's going on over it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do they do their wickedness, but they now go about and impose it to others.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at U.S. presidents forcing African governments to make a law that men should marry men, women marry women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Want to do it, no problem. But now that you want to force me to do it,
if you want aid from us, yes, you got to do this.
You know, so we have to understand the big picture and be aware that every one of us that try to make an effort and live a more or less decent life is already very much. It's a lot. Because we're living in such a wicked, wicked, wicked world. Mm-hmm. And we cannot change that world until we change ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is the key thing that the women and heroes of the Haitian Revolution, they illustrated for us. A, the greater responsibility is ours. Until we get ourselves together, the men will continue to do whatever. There's an example that comes to mind with Libyan women in the first century. Prior to the first century, Libyan women were mistreated, taken for nothing. They were not even things or animals. A man would meet a woman, let's say in New York, even if her father and brothers were there, the man just come and grab her by the hair and go away with her. Father and brothers will say nothing because a man is doing it. That's normal. So he goes away with her to Tampa. And in Tampa, he doesn't want her anymore. He drops her on the street and move on. That was normal. Well, you know what happened? Somewhere in the first century, the women decided they had to change the situation. They are less than animal doo-doo here. Well, the women came up with the idea that they need to weaken physically the men to change that. So they decided that at birth, they would damage their boy children by the tendon, on their ankles. And also that every mother of a son has to hold the baby for at least 3 years. Don't put him down to walk. Care for him, nurse him, do everything, but baby him. The girls, at 6 months, give them 2 strikes in the butt and make them do. Do you know that in less than 50 years, they changed the society? The army became more than 50% female? Yes.
Steve.
So, change only comes to those who decide they want it. Not those who pray for it.
Hmm. Say that again.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Say that again.
Change only comes to those who want it and work for it, not those who pray for it.
I see.
Okay. So we have to decide what we want to do. And if we say we want, sometimes we are even trapped into a certain militancy. We're trapped into a militancy where, okay, I'm a militant. I always go to the marches. I always give a speech. I always, hey, but if you've been doing this for 5 years, for 10 years, what change have you brought? If it has not brought about the change you want, then you need to question that militancy. Whatever we do, we must question it regularly and readjust. If this didn't work for 2 years, for 3 years, then I need to have a new strategy and new ways of dealing with it. I cannot keep the routine and say, yeah, I'm in the fight. We must be very serious when we say we want to, because you know what? The enemy is watching all of us, and they can strike against us at any moment. And if we're only doing the motion, not serious, he won't worry about you. You just continue your thing, and he continues his thing, and you don't get anywhere till you die. You generally often will die with regrets and whatnot. No. At least you must change. You must say to yourself, but I've been doing this for 5 years. How about if I did it this way instead? Let me try. How's that? Okay, I want to be able to measure what I do, what impact, what results. Even if it's for, I want to change 2 lives in the next 10 years. Those are the things we have to be serious about. We have to meditate create lots of time of silence. Silence is very difficult to create today. Because even when you're not, you think you're not hearing anything, but all the waves and all those things are all around us, radio, television, even if yours is off, it's still playing. The fridge is making noise, all the tic-tacs of all the electronics around us. Difficult to create real silence. But you need real silence to get real ideas. Two things are vital. Silence and darkness to get new ideas.
Sister Baina, Sister Baina.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that fantastic. Appreciate it. Listen, your book is beautiful. The illustrations are fantastic.
Thank you.
Who are some of the sisters in the book that you really, I know we just mentioned Sister Toya and what she did mm-hmm. for the Haitian Revolution, but who are some other ones that you really found that really helped in the victory of the Haitian Revolution, who made tremendous sacrifice?
Okay. I say that each one of them helped in their own way. All right? If Tante Toya didn't do what she did, the revolution might have gone on for 10, 20, 30 years and not accomplished, not bring to victory. Mm-hmm. Now, when Dessalines is going to marry Marie-Claire Heureuse Félicité Bonheur, and she's going to teach him French, read and write French. She's a very peaceful woman who has nothing to do with war. In fact, so clear in her position with peace and health. She says there's three things in her life: health, education, and justice. Nothing else. Military, no. When they established the capital city, the new capital in Haiti, she made her house in one street, Dessalines' house, two streets down. Because she says, he is a military man, he must live in an arsenal. I don't want any weapons around me. So we each have a house. We love each other, we will meet when we have to meet, but we must each have our own space. So even though, yes, I have admiration for all of them, but Marie-Claire Heureuse, in fact, this is the person after whom we name the foundation, Fondation Félicité, is the full name is Fondation Marie-Claire Heureuse Félicité Bonheur Dessalines. So that's her full name. This is a woman who grew from slavery to become a free woman, to become the wife of Colonel Dessalines, to become the Empress of Haiti. From slave to empress, that's quite a process, a life crisis. I don't know. But the woman, as a healer, as an educator, she taught many people how to read and write. She educated many children. At one point, she adopted over 30 children, orphans, and raised them properly. As a health person, not only we know that she did great on a battlefield, she would go after a battle to heal people, to carry some of the wounded to her house, et cetera, et cetera. But the woman lived to be 110 years old.
Mm. Wow.
Having gone through slavery and lived 110 years, I don't know. Obviously, she knew a lot about how to maintain life.
Right. She was a herbalist. She's a healer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
An educator. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And when Haiti became independent, a lot of newspapers around the world were saying, well, it will not last. I give them maximum 25 years, 50 years tops. the island will turn into a big stone and there'll be nobody on it. Well, those were their wishes. When we became independent, the first thing Marie Claire always did is teach us how to make a special soup. She called it independence soup.
Mm.
It's made with pumpkin and some vegetables and stuff. And she said, as you come out of slavery, most of you have nothing, not even a pot. She says, but if you can make food, make this soup. If you spend 4 or 5 days without eating, and then you can make food again, don't worry, make that soup. Even if you spend 10 days without eating, you can make soup food again, make that soup. It will hold your body in health for at least 15 days.
Mm.
It won't stop you from being hungry, but it will protect the nutrients in your body. Well, I read that and I repeated that for a number of years. But in 1994, I had a friend working in a laboratory, and I asked my friend to make a test for us on the recipe that she gave us for that soup. And my friend said, she's a very modest person. That's why she said 15 days. But actually, he broke down every vegetable, everything for me. It says, for example, our pumpkin in Haiti has something like 127 nutrients. Among them, four enzymes. Of those four enzymes, one of them work like a glue, like glue. So every nutrient that you take in is stick, that enzyme make it stick to the body. It could last almost 28 days before all of it is gone. So she was correct when she told us, if you spend 10 days, you don't eat, make that soup. If the next day you can eat, eat what you want. The next day you can eat what you want. But if you spend so many days no food, eat that soup. So this woman, to me, has contributed to the fact that while the world was wishing for us to die so they would forget about our independence, well, we were about 1 million Haitians when we became independent, and today we're like 20 million. And they're forever talking about famine in Haiti, not having in Haiti, not this, not that, but they never say what we have while they're stealing it.
Yeah.
And in parenthesis, let me tell you, Haiti is, I am certain, the richest island in the Americas. And there are some who says the richest country. And as far as mineral resources,
right,
gold, diamond,
yes,
petrol, we have it. With the climate, we have 3 and 4 harvests. We can have 3 to 4 harvests a year. No, what we don't have is people, Haitians, black people, people who know that they are free, and to stay free, you have to work hard to maintain your freedom.
Leadership.
And
you don't have leadership and organization. You have all these people who have been succumbing to neo-colonialism, you know.
Despots. Leadership can only come from free people. The leadership rises from free people. If you have a slave mentality, mm-hmm, people, there is no leadership possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to be free first. So, because, all right, if you say, okay, we're going to have election, if all of us are a bunch of dummies, and, okay, somebody's going to rise out of the election, somebody's going to become president, senator, this, that, and the other, you're going to create a government, but a government of non-thinking, what is it worth? Useless. So you must have a people, and from that people, the leadership will arise. Mm-hmm. A free people will bring free leaders.
Right.
And enslaved people bring fake leaders.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you've had. I mean, you know, I read a piece on the mineral wealth. In fact, there's a mineral that I haven't heard of. It's almost like in the movie Black Panther, you know, in the movie Black Panther, the mineral is vibranium. But there's a mineral that is on the island of Haiti that is nowhere else. And it's plentiful. And it's something that, if memory serves me, can really assist in technology, you know?
Absolutely. In fact, there are more than one. I think we have so far, they've identified three minerals that you can only find at home. They haven't identified them anyplace else yet.
And see, you have now 20 million people, and what needs to happen, and of course, you only have half of the island. The other half of the island is occupied by some people who believe in white supremacy, who want to be white, you know, who do crazy things to be white, and of course have kicked the Haitian people out, and you know, it's really a sad history, honestly, to me, and I pray that real leadership, statesmanship, men and women come to the fore, because I understand that once Haiti was created, you know, the European powers got together and said, we are going to crush them because we cannot. Now, that's one thing that Napoleon said. I got to crush them, not for victory on the line, but to crush them to make sure that they know that they cannot defeat us. They cannot rise above what we have done to them.
You see? The exact quote is, I must crush the Haitian Revolution, not for money and victory and pride, but because there, it is through them that I can block the progress of the black world, about the blacks throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we are perceived by them as the thing that holds the wine in the bottle.
The cork.
The cork, the cork that blocks black around the world, advancements of black around the world.
See, that's why it's necessary for us as African people to come into the mindset of oneness, not Haitian, not Cameroon, not Nigerian, not whatever, but the oneness of African people around the world to share, to come together. Mm-hmm. Because once that happens, sanity comes to the planet. Once we are together, sanity will come to the planet. But we live in a world dominated by Europeans. And, of course, you know, they're evil. Their intent is evil. It's insane. And we act that way. That's why we're so divided. When you look at the continent, the potential there, we, as African people, we're not poor. But the image of us, the perception of us, and the perception we have of ourselves is that that's what we are. It's unfortunate. It's a damn shame because we sit, you know, on all of the resources. As Dr. John Henry Clark would say, we sit on all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and show in the hell don't want to pay for. They were constantly manipulating and undermining us, eliminating us, you know. So it has to change now. You know, it's not something for the future. It is now. Because,
change that, each one of us must change ourselves. We cannot talk of global change if we will make no effort for individual change. We must change now, each one of us. I must change Baina. That I have the power to do right now.
Right.
And if I don't decide to put the effort to change Baina, how can I say that the black people must change?
May I step in a little bit?
Sure, please.
Baba?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Sister Bonisawa.
I've been, and I think I've shared this with you, Dr. Bella, I've been working with people for many years regarding self-healing, just what you're talking about, self-transformation. And I was saying last night that the battle, you know, that we're fighting is for the mind of African people, because we truly have lost our minds. And there is an option of healing, personal healing, but doing it as a group. And I've been talking and trying to push an idea, and it's not a new one, I know, but of right now, because we're talking about right now, a national, a Pan-Africanist discussion and strategies regarding how to reclaim our minds, how to reclaim our sanity, how to reclaim our spiritual systems, because we have a lot of what we need, but we've been turned against ourselves.
Exactly.
And so many don't even want to know about who we are. They want that white standard. They want to stay in this insane paradigm. But the European goal is annihilation of black people. They made that very clear.
Yes.
Very clear. And it's becoming more and more clear. So now we're kind of bumping into each other asking, well, what is the solution? What is the solution? It is transformation and organization and building is several things. But we are so fragmented that we're not able to get the things done that we know that we have to do. So if we were to start having a real black conversation, a Pan-Africanist conversation, and start to deal with these things, that would at least be a step. Because I teach transformation and healing, I find a very few want it. So I share it with the very few that want it. We got to bring in more.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
That's what this program is about. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I talk about
that.
Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because there, to me, there is no other discussion. Everything else is moot. Now, I love this Sister Bayina Bookman Duty. He said, "Throw away the white man's God, and you will be free." He didn't say you could be free. He didn't say you might be free. He didn't say you shall be free. He said you will be free. Our problem is we cannot throw away this white man's God.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Christianity and all its divisions and versions, whether it's Islam, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Black Hebrew Israelite, more whatever.
That's right. It's a poison. If you've received poison through food, can you really, you know, first of all, you don't even think right away that, hey, maybe I had a nice meal and now I'm sick. Was it the rice? Was it the chicken? Was it the carrot? Was it, we don't know. So you're confused about why you're sick suddenly. Now, that's when you are blessed to have a reaction, a visible reaction immediately. But in our case, we have been submitted to the poisoning for centuries. And it's invading more and more of our inner self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why it is so important that consciousness and admission be first. I mean, you know, it's almost like, a drug addict or alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Until you say, as long as I'm telling you, see me, you know, it's obvious. I'm smelling alcohol. I can hardly walk. And you say to me, well, sister, look like you had too much to drink, huh? Oh, no. I just tasted, I find something to say to you. But it's obvious to everybody I'm drunk. Until I can look in the mirror and say, Bayina, you are drunk, and that's disgusting. You need to stop that. If I don't look in the mirror and talk like this to Bayina, I cannot be cured. You can take me to the best clinic. You can spend any million of dollars. 3 weeks later, I will be back with the alcohol. Because somewhere in me, my conscience has not admitted here is my problem. So that's why it has to be, at first, individual. And the good side of this thing, you see, when they always have tells, we're saying, we have diversity, Afro, blah, 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 Pan-African, blah, blah, blah. But 100 Pan-African non-entities, what will they do for Africa? Nothing. But if you can find one, Dessalines said, creating a nation is not complicated. All you need is to have 9 people in the same time space.
That's right.
Finding the 9 is not complicated, but bringing them in the same time space. So the minute is talking about synchronicity. Okay? So it's not about convincing so many millions of people of blah, 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 blah. Remember Fidel Castro? He was only with 16 men in the mountains. But came down and had that revolution in Cuba, one of the most successful revolutions to our people. Yes. So it's not the numbers. The thing is, every time we are of people of like mind, we have to look at what is it we can do together. It's not looking for the numbers. It's looking for that quality of right-mindedness.
Excuse me. We're at our time. We're at our time, but we're going to go over. We're going to continue the conversation, if you don't mind, Sister Baena, for a little while. I know you have things to do. And Sister Benisiwa, yes, please stay with us, and those listening on us, we're going to go over. Continue, Sister Baena.
Thank you. So, you see, if we're just that small group, that small core that is necessary, the rest of the people will follow once the core is created. It's the core that we have to look for, not the masses. The mass of anywhere, any place on the planet, you take any number of people. The average American don't think. They're just for or against. They either walk for this one or walk Democrat or walk whatever. But, and it's like that throughout the world. It's not the millions that you look for. It's first making yourself really, truly what you think you are. Be it fully. You who understand. And then hope to find one, maybe two, maybe three. And then movement is on. It's just looking for that core group. Otherwise, you waste a lot of energy looking for the millions from the start. It's the core group. Once the core is created, it's like the heart. It's like, okay, to take a life example, the men send out millions of sperm into the woman. But only one sperm needs to touch that oval, and you have life.
Sure.
So it's not the 1 million that counts. It's not the 5 million. It's just the right sperm touching the right egg. And then you got life. And that's the way we need to look at the change. So I have to concentrate on changing Baena. Baba Oshi has to concentrate on changing Baba Oshi. Sister has to concentrate on changing herself. And while she work at herself, she look for someone that looks just like her. And the two of you, the three of you, the four of us, we can change the world. So the sisters in our book, to me, understood that. Each one of them in their different area of expertise. You know, we have Marie-Jeanne, who could transform. You see her at 10 o'clock. She's a man. At noon, she's a mulatto woman. Mm-hmm. At night, she's a black somebody.
Right.
She's old. She's young. You know?
Yeah, she was a master of disguise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You see? So each one have something. And each had something vital. But all had in common discipline, vision, determination. Age didn't matter. Some of them are in their 20s. Others are in their 70s. Others are 100. It doesn't matter. But once we recognize that we have that in common, and we put discipline, determination, courage. Courage is vital. And we have a vision that establishes our objective, we will be victorious. Don't look for the millions. Look for the one like you.
I say.
You see yourself as the sperm looking for an egg. That's it. As you try to perfect, you work to perfect yourself, then you're looking for that egg. And we will make life happen again. We've done it in the past. We can do it again.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I know when we look at us here, particularly here in America, I think America is one that is most captivating of our minds because, you know, of all the glitz and glamour, all the communication and mass communication and social media and all of these things that, you know, has us talking about this is just as much ours as it is the Caucasians. Yeah, right. You know, but it has us believing in that and it has us moving towards that. And as a consequence, we don't move towards ourselves. We move toward right. what the European expects of us. And we're happy to try our best to please them, to be like them. You know, that's why to me, I'm adamant about using the word African as opposed to the word black, because black, I know it's synonymous, but there are some of us who don't want to be African, but we want to be black. We don't necessarily don't want to be white, but we want to be black because it's, we want just what the Caucasian has. We want the cars, the homes and the jobs and so forth. We want to mirror that, you know? And so we don't want to come together because in a society that's dominated by Europeans, you got to understand it's all about individualism. And I always, the children I've worked with over the years, I always talk about what America is. America is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what European society is. Individualism. Yes.
And it has exported it throughout the world.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then with his weapons, wherever our people are shooting at each other, then he will make a film how we are shooting each other. But he will not mention that the weapons were created by him, fabricated by him, and sold or even given away to us.
That's right.
Because they're giving away big weapons to people who can't even buy their food. And they can buy $30,000 and $50,000 weapon and all the ammunition to go with it to shoot every day for nothing. So that's what's going on. And they do this around the world.
Around the world.
Around the world.
Yeah.
May I step in a little bit again?
Please.
Okay. I have this observation that's really, I found difficult to communicate. And that's that 12 years ago, I've been organizing for about 20 years. 12 years ago, when I would put a call out for the community to come together to do a particular thing, people would show up. We would meet for an hour a week, and we would get the thing done. Now, with all the social media we have, it is extremely difficult to get people to show up and just to sit together and plan to do something constructive for our people. And what I'm seeing is that the more that we're enslaved and dependent on technology, it appears, at least where I am, that it's harder to get us to work together. Because what Dr. Bella was saying, you know, I've seen it to be true. I mean, she speaks truth, you know, from everything I've heard. You just need that core of people, you know, and then we can spread our message and even more importantly, build something and people will see that we're serious and then get on board. But it has been so difficult to do what we used to do. I don't know if you're experiencing that, Brother Oshie.
Well,
where you are?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Okay. And it's ironic because here in Atlanta, you know, Atlanta's the perception of it's the black capital. There's so much progressiveness. And so we don't even own a damn supermarket here. We don't own any. We don't. They don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
All these folks, all this money, and we don't own a strip mall. We don't own nothing. We go to the European for everything. The only thing that they go to there is get your hair did. You know, I can't even find a cleaners to clean my clothes. That's us. I can't even go find a service station in my immediate area, even outlining area. That's us. You know,
that's right. Because
they tell us everything. All we need is money and technology and we can do all these great things. And I don't see us doing nowhere near what we did in the early 1900s.
That's right.
Very true. Very good observation. But what you didn't notice, you see this whole thing that they call communication, this whole electronic thing, that's la-la world. That's what I called it.
Ah,
that's a world of illusion.
Mm.
Okay? It's like, well, I'll tell you a personal thing. At some point, everybody is telling me, I know, but you know, you have to be on Facebook. You have to be on Facebook, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So somebody create a Facebook page. I got on the page. I'm spending an hour a day on it. I'm spending 2 hours a day on it. And I said, but what is it that I get out of, you know, I'm spending 2 hours there. What's the purpose? I said, okay, let me see. Let me put a comment and see. So now I'm supposed to have 4,000, 5,000 followers or something like that. I put a comment and ask my followers to comment on my comment. maybe one, maybe two. I put a picture. 4,000 people say like. I said, well, we would need to do for Deseline's birthday, we're going to organize, we would need 20 people to engage, you know, to say that they're going to be present at blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Maybe one, maybe two. So it became clear to me, this is not a means of communication.
I see.
It is something for counting likes. So at that point, even though the page is still there, but unless somebody called, you know, they say, oh, maybe hello, I saw that somebody said such and such and such, but I said, okay. But I do not, I have no time for that.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I must have, my time must be useful. If I spend an hour somewhere, I want to gain something from it. If one person understands better or one person, you know, so in all the hundreds of thousands of people supposed to be following you on this, on that, on the other, but okay, right now we need to purchase the house where Fondation is. We need $400,000. Someone said, well, that's not complicated. If each person gives $10, you only need 40,000 people to.
This is so common.
You know? Well, you know, well, you could even get people 1,000. So if only 40 people give you $1,000, well, make it happen. Let me see. No. You would need, it's too practical a thing. You need something drama. You need something, I don't know, you us the illusion of communicating. Mm. But it's not communication, real communication, where something goes from my heart to your heart.
I say.
Yes.
I say.
Yes. That's so powerful. Mm. Because it's been a constant source of frustration. I do want to ask Dr. Bello, are in the U.S. currently?
Auntie Baina or whatever, but that doctor's saying I really not me.
You know,
that's
what?
True.
I kind of felt that I wanted to call you E or something, but I wasn't quite sure. So my sister Baina?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, are you in the States currently, the U.S.?
That's correct. Yes, I am.
And Baba Oshi, would it be okay with you if I were to ask her for contact number? Because I'm in North Carolina. I would love to look into bringing you here because I'm constantly trying to keep awakening, you know, and doing something to get our people to move in a healthier direction.
Sister Baina, can I share that information with her?
Hey, you will. You can, you know.
Thank you, and it's going to come it's going to come your way, Sister Bonisua.
And thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I would love to invite you here.
It would be a pleasure.
And okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I know she's going to be back here again in April, here in the Atlanta area. She has a presentation and a book signing of her book at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Here in Atlanta, so I know that.
Oh, okay. And send me that information so I can pass it around.
I sure will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, the book is available at Medu Bookstore as well as Black Dot Bookstore in Atlanta.
Okay. Oshi, can you send me all that information?
I sure will. And I thank you for listening. I thank Sister Baina for all that she does. And like I said, whenever she comes into town, we have a chance to break bread and talk stories and so forth, and true blessing.
Yes.
You know,
it's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
So I appreciate
thank
you to all the listeners. Sorry for those who didn't get a chance to call in. Take good care to all.
All right. Thank you, Sister Bonisua. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MIND, but the MINE. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodeh means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Bibi Fahodeh, you have a blessed and wonderful day. On this Friday, remember, this Friday, we will be talking about the Netflix documentary, Who Killed Malcolm X? My guest will be Brother Muhammad Abdullah, and we'll examine that and talk about that. So join us this Friday for African Perspectives right here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Peace, family.
Peace to all.